Coming up on Money Bites by Smart Money People.
It's said that one third of do-it-yourself investors are now signing up for robo-advisors.
I'll have you know, my DIY skills are getting much better, Nate.
Socks.
Socks, as in equities, and that's sort of...
Yeah, that might be the French term for it, but socks, you wear them under your shoes.
For this week's Grill the Big Cheese, we have Michelle Pierce-Burke, the co-founder and chief investment officer at Wealthify. If you had a pet giraffe, what would you call it?
Jerry.
Can I use it like a shovel?
Yes.
Welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People.
Hello and welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People. Coming up on today's show, we're tackling robo-advisors. Can robots really manage your money better?
So, what do we have to look forward to today? We'll have Michelle Pierce-Burke, Chief Investments Officer and co-founder of Wealthify, to discuss the changing tides in the investment game. And we've put more telephone banking teams to the test in our weekly prank calls.
But first, after back-to-back defeats, it's time to step into the ring once more and go head-to-head with Nate in Fighting Talk.
Time to lace up those gloves. It's Mike versus Nate in this week's Fighting Talk.
This week, we sent producer Eddie out onto the streets to ask members of the public if they would be comfortable letting a robot manage their money. Here's what happened.
No, I don't think I'd be comfortable with an AI service investing my own money into stocks and shares, as I wouldn't be the one with complete control over my own income.
If a central bank suddenly decided to raise or lower interest rates, would the robot be able to deal with that?
I'm not sure I would trust a robot because it just analyses data. However, for financial analysts, for example, they analyze data, but they also have a relationship with each particular institution.
But I would not be comfortable with a robot making financial decisions on my behalf for me. I just don't feel that's right.
It's not just about reading data, which is all a robot would do.
Interesting. So, the rules. Each week, me and Mike will battle it out in a brainy bout and eventually crown a champion. This week, I will be arguing that yes, robots are better able to manage your hard-earned cash. And Mike will be arguing that you'd much rather a human than a robot managing your funds. So Mike, go ahead, take the first swing.
Nate, this week you're arguing that we should use a robot to manage our hard-earned money. What makes this robot better than a human?
Mike, it's not really a robot with arms and legs. I mean, robo-advisors are simply the next generation of wealth advisors. They assess your attitude to risk and then invest your money in a portfolio that matches your risk appetite. So you typically answer a few questions, similar to a personality test, I guess. And then you're assigned an investor profile ranging from very conservative to adventurous. So no need for a long, rambling human to take you through lots of questions.
Oh, Nate, you may be convincing me now. No one ever loves a never-ending form.
That's true. Once you're assigned a risk profile, your money is typically invested in products that track the market, so-called passive investing. So these products, they're typically cheaper, so you'll pay less. And this approach could be helpful to spread the risk of investing.
Passive investing or active investment? It's a real great area of debate. Does an investment manager managing your funds on a day-to-day basis drive a better return than an ETF product that effectively just tracks the market?
Probably one for next week, but there's still a bit of human intervention when it comes to robo-advisors or so-called digital wealth managers. And there's lots of them out there, people like Wealthify, Nutmeg and MoneyFarm. It's said that one third of do-it-yourself investors are now signing up for robo-advisors, so it's certainly a hot area of the market.
Digital wealth advisors have made it really easy to group you into investor profiles, but it doesn't always feel very personal, Nate. There's effectively three buckets, and you're lumped into one of them. A financial advisor will be able to tailor a solution that better fits you and your circumstances, and the best place to consider that full picture. There's a lot more services cropping up that are offering a bit of a hybrid approach. Firms like Open Money.
That's a good point. So anything that helps to democratize financial advice will be a good thing. So, and getting us all thinking about growing our money is helpful. I mean, it's traditionally been quite hard to get good advice if you're only just starting out and don't have lots of funds to invest. So the average cost of a financial advisor in the UK, it isn't cheap. It's £150, which seems steep when there's millions of us with less than £100 in savings to call on.
That's always a shocking stat, Nate, but it's very true. I think digital wealth managers probably have a place, they're often a useful stepping stone into investment for the millions of us that aren't investing. But if your investment needs are complex, there's clearly still a role for more traditional wealth management options.
Yeah, robots are cheaper and arguably a lot more transparent too about the fees and charges you'll incur by using them. And sorry to bring this into the argument, but back before Brexit, Gina Miller was best known for a true and fair campaign designed to increase transparency and protections for ordinary pensioners and investors for 10 years.
It didn't take long for Brexit to rear its ugly head, but another alternative would be to manage your investments yourself, and this gives you ultimate control into what you're investing.
DIY takes a lot of time though, researching, learning investment strategies, rebalancing. Portfolios are also less likely to be diversified, so more risky therefore, and emotion leads a lot of the decisions. So you're more likely to invest in domestic markets, so UK companies, and brands you're familiar with, which could lead to poor outcomes, and there's a lot of evidence to back that up. And are you and me the best people to do the job? I mean, remember last year, Mike, that IKEA cabinet that we tried to build together? I mean, that was stuff of nightmares.
I'll have you know, my DIY skills are getting much better, Nate. The newness of robo-advisors, look, it's clearly a limiting factor for them. They don't have the years of track record that some of the traditional wealth management options can point to. And also the term robo. So many in the industry absolutely hate that title because actually no one really likes giving their money or anything else to a robot. After all, you wouldn't be keen to sign up to surgery with a robo-doctor. So why would you let a robot manage your money? In fact, really all they've done is streamlined the process and just made it a bit digital. And since 2017, one in four platforms have actually closed or pivoted, and many are making massive losses. So the jury's out if they're really the way forward for all of us.
Fair point about them having a limited history, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't use them. So robo-advisors, they're regulated by the FCA in the same way as other wealth management firms. And of course, it's worth reiterating too that your investments can obviously go down as well as up.
All right, guys, producer Eddie here, and I'm going to have to throw in the towel and call that one a draw. We reached what was almost a consensus. Nate, you had great points about how robo-advising, it strips down the process. It makes investment more accessible and affordable for people who wouldn't usually see the investment game as something they were able to get involved in. But likewise, Mike, you raised a good case. I mean, traditional investors, they offer a much more bespoke service. If you're looking for more complex options for your investments, you're right, then they're probably where you should go. So I think we can all agree that there's a world where both robo-advisors and traditional wealth management firms can exist.
Good morning, you're through to Be It Well Simple. How can I help?
Hello. I've just got a few more inquiries. I've recently come into a spell of good fortune, and I've acquired some funds, and I'm surveying the scene for investment firms. Could I just have a minute of your time to ask a few questions?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to answer any questions you have and tell you more about the service for sure.
Fantastic. So it's my understanding that you operate in socks and shares. Yes.
That is correct. Yes.
Fantastic. Well, I've actually thought for a long time that this is a business that I must get into because, you know, shares are one thing, but socks are imperative. You know, my wife, she is constantly losing my socks, and I say I should be investing in socks constantly. I have cotton socks, I have polyester socks, and I think it would just make a sterling investment.
Into socks, did you say? Sorry?
Yeah, socks and shares.
So stocks?
Socks.
Stocks, as in equities, and that's sort of, yeah, companies.
Yeah, that might be the French term for it, but socks, you wear them under your shoes.
Okay, so yeah, here it's stocks and shares rather than socks.
I see.
So, yeah, it's actually stocks and shares which we invest in here. It's sort of anything which sort of beyond the 3-year time horizon, yeah, we think it's a great idea to invest in stocks and shares.
3 years for a pair of socks?
Could you give me a bit more of a background of the sort of the amount you have to invest? And
I've really appreciated your time, but I think I best find a proper sock vendor. You're clearly not my man. I'm sorry to waste your time, friend.
No worries. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Nice speaking to you.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Time to fire up the hot seat as Mike welcomes another guest in to grill the big cheese.
For this week's Grill the Big Cheese, we have Michelle Pierce-Burke, the co-founder and chief investment officer at Wealthify. Wealthify is a digital wealth management platform, aka a robo-advisor, and they're backed by Aviva and based in Wales. The Money Bites grill is heating up, so it's time to get grilling. Michelle, thank you for joining us. Can you start by telling us a bit more about Wealthify? What do you guys do?
Yeah, thanks for having me here today. So Wealthify, as you said, is a digital wealth manager, and what we do is our customers give us their money and they trust us to make all the investment decisions. So we invest their money into financial markets, so into stock markets, bond markets, and we manage that on an ongoing basis as well to try and optimize their returns. It's a really simple sign-up journey and people can literally get started with us with just a mere £1.
£1. And that does distinguish you from some of the other digital wealth management platforms around that have a much higher threshold.
Yeah.
We've seen some that start around 10K, which is pretty high and out of reach for most people, certainly if they're starting out on their investments journey. You made a distinction between the term robo-advisor and digital wealth management platform. Do you think that term robo-advisor hasn't actually been helpful to firms like yours in the minds of consumers and getting them kind of to adopt this kind of investment firm?
Yeah, very much so. I think it's been extremely unhelpful because it's just kind of added to the confusion of what we're actually doing in this space. And Wealthify and many firms like it as well are actually non-advised. So it's not up to us to tell you how much money to invest or tell you how much risk to take with your money. That's all the customer's decision. What we're doing, as I said before, is managing your money for you in the most simple way. So it's like the opposite of DIY investing.
And what do you think the kind of the top three things are that make you different from a traditional investment management firm?
I think the first thing is that low minimum starting point. So for us, or for me particularly founding the company, that was really important, was to make it accessible for everyone. The second point is it's completely digital. So it's technology first. You know, our sign-up journey is really super fast and easy. Our app's beautiful, lovely to use. And then the third point would probably be around the low fees. And that was always a bit of a bugbear that I had with the industry, kind of coming into it with quite fresh eyes, was just realizing when you start to kind of unpeel all the layers, how many charges there are and kind of how those add up and really affect your performance over time as well.
There's always been a debate around how investment firms illustrate their fees, particularly when obviously a fund hasn't performed well in a particular year, that the kind of advisor is getting their fee even if your pot has gone down.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there are costs that people have to wear in managing money, so I can understand that to an extent. But I just think that the amount of fees that have been taken up till now has just been absolutely ridiculous. And even though MiFID II and some of the regulations that have come in recently have meant to bring more transparency to the industry, it's being a bit slow, I think, to filter through to the actual end customer.
You're clearly really passionate about investments and investing. How do you get that passion?
I mean, for me, it started when I was really small, actually, like when I was preteen. And I used to play on this, I don't know if you've heard of it or any of your listeners might have, but it was called Neopets. And it was all about, you had this virtual animal and you had to go and try and earn more points, more money for this Neopet. And one of the ways you could do that was playing through this virtual stock market, which was a completely like nonsensical thing. But for me, it was going on that, playing that, that made me kind of understand, I guess, the principles of how it worked and made me kind of excited by it and kind of keen and interested to learn more. And then as I grew up and understood a little bit more, I bought my first share and then pretty much was hooked from then, so from a very early age.
And do you think there's a role in kind of that gamification today to help people, to encourage them to invest and do more with their money?
Definitely. I think there's some new propositions on the market that are kind of making that happen. We've tried to do it a little bit with the sort of feeling of our app, but I think there's much more that can be done in this space, and it's definitely an area which we're exploring and keen to bring to life.
And if you hadn't come across the Neopets game, what do you think you'd have ended up doing other than being the chief investment officer at Wealthify?
Good question. I mean, I did take a bit of a tangent. So when I went to university, I actually studied medicine. Right. Because for a part of my life, I thought being a doctor was for me. I don't know. I like to think I would have always ended up doing something entrepreneurial.
What do you think is a good rate of return given the kind of current financial climate? If there's a listener out there that wonders what kind of return should they be expecting from their money if they look to do a bit more than just a kind of a simple fixed rate type savings product?
So, I mean, it very much depends on how much risk you want to take. And there are, you know, some ways of investing that will yield you massive returns, but there's also a risk of massive losses. So what we do at Wealthify is give you a slower but steadier rate of return. We invest in a diversified mix of investments, so lots of different investments. And we would aim to get between sort of 3 to 7% a year, depending on how much risk you were willing to take.
And would that still hold true if a customer wanted to invest in the kind of ethical portfolio range?
Oh yeah, very much so. So we've got two ranges, the very low cost, what we call the original or passive investment option, or the ethical. The ethical is broadly following the same strategy and aiming for the same returns, but there are a few more costs involved which do potentially weigh on performance. Though actually, since we've launched our ethical plans, they've outperformed, they've done better than the other ones. So it's not always true that ethical investments can't outperform.
That's interesting. Do you see a kind of difference in the type of consumer or your type of customer that goes for the ethical range that you've got versus the kind of standard?
A little bit, in the sense that it tends to be more appealing to younger customers. Mm-hmm. And also women seem to be more engaged generally with the ethical side of things, so it's not masses different, but there is a noticeable trend towards younger and female customers liking that approach,
which is interesting because that's the untapped market that many digital wealth propositions seem to be quite keen to tap into. Do you think there are any kind of big myths around investing that should be debunked?
I think the fact that you don't have to have enough money to invest, that people feel like it's something that's the preserve of the elite and that you have to have hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of pounds to get going. You really don't, you know, setting just a sensible amount aside each month, be that 10 quid, 100 quid, 1,000 quid, whatever you might be able to afford, it really does build up over time. So I would say that's a common myth. I think another common myth is that it's too risky. And I get, you know, investing involves risk. We have to put capital at risk warnings everywhere. But at the end of the day, if you're thinking long term and you can just tuck that money aside and try and forget about the ups and downs and the inevitable bumps along the road, it can actually be done in quite a sensible way.
There is, of course, always risk in investments, as you mentioned. Mm. What do you think your top tips would be for a typical consumer looking on the internet, coming across all manner of different types of investment products, whether it's kind of mini bonds or people promising 30% returns? What are the kind of key signs you'd look for to see if an investment opportunity is legit?
Best thing I could say is if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. Yes, some people might be able to achieve those gains, but it doesn't normally come without some downside or a massive amount of risk involved. So just keep it sensible. And I mean, I'm obviously biased, but if you're not sure about what you're doing, I would pick a service like Wealthify or another digital wealth management proposition that does it for you and actually picks those investments and makes those investment choices. Because it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, it's a bit of a minefield out there. We've got teams of people doing it.
One of the kind of new products that's emerged on the market in the last couple of years is the Lifetime ISA. And you can have a cash Lifetime ISA or you can put it in stocks and shares. Is the Lifetime ISA something that Wealthify is looking into? Is that a product that you're keen on? Or is it something that you're waiting to see if there's more market acceptance for?
Yeah, it's very much a wait and see for us. I mean, there's obviously advantage of the Lifetime ISA in that you get an extra boost to your money by investing in it. But for us, one of the disappointments of it was that it just sort of confused the landscape even further. And I think there's people out there who don't even understand what an ISA is, and we need to help people get to that level rather than just keeping introducing new products. And there are a lot of quirks around Lifetime ISAs to do with if you take your money out earlier, you want to withdraw some, you do suffer from a penalty imposed on you, and we kind of don't like that principle. So I wouldn't say we'll never do it, but it's not on our near-term roadmap.
And lastly, we've saved the big question for last. What is next for Wealthify?
So next for us is pensions. Actually, that's coming soon. So we're working really hard on that, and we're hoping to have that launch sort of around Christmas time early next year. So that's one of our key functions. We're also continually doing work to sort of improve our app and improve our user experience as well. So there's a series of smaller changes that are going live on that to make it even better and easier to use for customers.
And will the pensions proposition be slightly more aligned to what Aviva are doing? Will it be a co-branded product, or will it be an independent Wealthify product, given that Aviva already do quite a lot in the pension space?
Yeah, so Aviva do use some of Wealthify's products, and they sort of promote them to their customers. So you can buy a Wealthify stocks and shares ISA or a general investment account or a junior ISA via the Aviva website and the My Aviva app. The pensions product initially is just going to be for Wealthify and in the Wealthify estate, but maybe we'll partner with Aviva and do more on that front in good time.
Thanks, Michelle, for joining us. Up next, we have the most exciting part of the interview. We have a 90-second Skittle challenge.
And now, get your chopsticks ready. It's Skittle Mania!
Now, next up, it's Skittle Mania. We've put 30 Skittles in a cup, and we've given our guest a pair of chopsticks. And over the next 90 seconds, we'll attempt to get as many Skittles into cup B as possible. Are you ready? Let's start now. Michelle, what's your favourite coloured Skittle?
The reds, definitely.
How many times in your life do you think you've sneezed?
Sneezed? Oh, gosh, that's a difficult one. 7,000 times.
Do you have a favourite Michelle from history?
Michelle Obama.
Very good choice. If you had a pet giraffe, what would you call it?
Jerry.
Jerry the giraffe. How are you doing, Michelle? We've got 30 seconds in.
Can I use it like a shovel?
If that helps.
Two at a time. Yes.
How many times... no, not that one. Do you ask for a knife and a fork when given chopsticks in a Chinese restaurant?
Never, no. Matter of principle.
If you got a free Glastonbury ticket and could pick anyone to headline, dead or alive, who would you pick?
A Glastonbury ticket?
Yes.
Oh, well, when I went to Glastonbury a couple of years ago, it's not a band, but... Dalai Lama was there, and I missed him. I was really, really, really gutted.
That does sound like a unique headliner. If you had the option, would you rather be a bird or a fish?
A bird.
15 seconds left. Would you change your name to Robo for £125,000?
Yes.
Very good. And time is up.
Oh, 10.
Michelle has 10.
Yes. Is that the record?
It is so far. Well, Michelle, thank you very much for joining us on this episode of Money Bites. You've been an incredible guest. We look forward to welcoming you back at some point in the future.
Thank you for having me.
So, that positions Michelle as our latest Skittle success story. She has stormed into the lead, setting the bar for all future chopstick contenders. Tune in next week to see if another contender can unseat Michelle and become the latest Skittle sensation.
And that's all we have time for on this week's Money Bites. Thank you to Michelle Pisberg for coming in to chat with us, and to you for listening. Be sure to tune in next week when we'll be live from the Insurance Choice Awards. We'll all be chomping into the biggest cheeses the insurance industry has to offer. Goodbye.